You're listening to New England Public Radio News, and this is The Shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. I'm Jill Kaufman. Joining us in the studio to comment on what's been happening around the region this week, longtime Western Massachusetts reporter Kristen Palpini. Hello.
Hi.
And Susan Bigelow, columnist at CT News Junkie. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So let's start off with some industry news in Western Massachusetts this week. The Athol Daily News shut its office in town. The paper will still be published, but it will now be based about 25 miles away in Greenfield. And some staff lost their jobs in what the paper's parent company says is a cost-cutting move. Susanna Whipps, Athol's state representative, says she understands the expense of running a daily paper still.
The Athol Daily News has been a staple in the community for decades, for as long as I can remember. So it's disappointing. It's also sad to see people losing their jobs just a couple weeks before Christmas.
And seven people were laid off, according to the publisher who told us that, at the Athol paper, the Greenfield Recorder, and the Daily Hampshire Gazette. They're all owned by the company Newspapers of New England. Kristen, you worked for Newspapers of New England at the Gazette.
And the Advocate.
And the Advocate. The company bought the Athol paper a couple of years ago. From your experience, was this a surprise move or only a matter of time for the Athol Daily News?
Well, it was really shocking when they bought it in the first place. It didn't seem to make sense to me. I was still at the Advocate at the time, and with all the issues financial that we were having, it seemed weird to invest in another smaller newspaper that needed an infusion of money. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how they thought they were going to keep this going in the first place, and it's very sad.
Susan, there was also some newspaper drama in Connecticut this week. The Hartford Courant, which is owned by the Tribune Publishing, a big chunk of which is now owned by a hedge fund known for slashing costs and jobs at local papers. The Courant reporters have signed a petition asking Tribune Publishing to consider selling the company's papers to local owners. What's your take on this?
Well, that's something I think that a lot of folks in Connecticut have wanted for a long time. The Hartford Courant, which is our paper of record in Connecticut, it has been downsized. The number of reporters working there has been slashed. And we don't want to see that the same thing that's happening to so many other papers happen to the Courant. And not just because of state news, but also because of local news. Larger papers in the state have often pulled their reporters out of smaller towns, which means that a lot of these things are going on in those towns are simply going unreported.
Okay, I just wanted to bring up the Berkshire Eagle really quick as a newspaper that did get bought by the community and has seen some success. So there's hope.
All right. Moving on to the Boston Marathon. The Boston Marathon bombing case was back in federal court this week. Lawyers for Zahar Tsarnaev argued to the appeals court judges that he should be removed from death row. They say the district court judge should have, several years ago, moved the trial from Boston to begin with and done more to address social media users by the jurors who were selected. Susan, some on the appeals court sounded quite sympathetic to the arguments yesterday made by Tsarnaev's lawyers. What's your take?
So it's very difficult with high-profile media cases like this to get jurors who are going to be truly impartial, because the information about these cases, it's so emotional, first off, and it's everywhere. You can't really avoid it. So even moving it out of eastern Massachusetts, you might still really struggle to find jurors who are impartial. And when you're talking about something like the death penalty, it's very, very hard to separate that out from the emotion of the cases. Certainly that was the case in Connecticut when we were debating the death penalty. It was all connected in with a series of very brutal and high-profile murders in the town of Cheshire. And it's very difficult to sort of step back from that and make the reasoned argument that, okay, the death penalty tends to be, you know, it might be it might be applied in different ways for different groups, that sometimes the execution methods are really brutal. It's hard to take those arguments when you are looking at the emotion of the case.
Mm-hmm. We're going to see this play out on social media, in papers, among journalists, or what they'll cover, among opinion makers. Kristen, Tsarnaev is 26 years old. Are we about now to repeat the death penalty debate here?
Oh, I hope not. You know, I feel like this was done. It was done appropriately back then. I don't think we need to revisit this. And if it will save Massachusetts another trial, I say just let him get off death row and leave him there to rot.
Okay. Moving on to transportation, Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont, the state's Democratic legislative leaders, they're looking together to truck-only tolls as part of an answer to the state's long-term transportation infrastructure problems. Susan, you wrote about this. Can you briefly explain the back and forth on the tolls? It was up, it was down, there were cars, there were no cars, and then what have you been hearing?
So this all started off in the 2018 campaign. Ned Lamont promised truck-only tolls on our highways. And then he changed his mind after he was elected and said, we're going to toll passenger cars and there's going to be tolls all over the place. There was a map that came out that showed tolls every couple of miles on all of our roads, and everybody freaked out. That did not pass. And eventually, the program with the tolls were scaled back to say, okay, we're just going to put this on certain bridges throughout the state that are actually being worked on, certain project areas. That didn't fly either because it was getting too close to an election year. And so now we are back where we started at truck-only tolls.
And, you know, this is only happening in Rhode Island thus far as the only other state that is doing this. This is now tied up in court. There's a lawsuit going forward. Kristen, does it make sense to toll trucks, which cause extra wear and tear on roads, not cars?
I mean, I like the charge them by axle kind of model. That makes sense to me because they do put more wear and tear. So there should be a little extra for that, but they shouldn't be singled out.
Okay. This week, we've got some lighter news from that well-known Springfield-based dictionary.
Merriam-Webster's word of the year for 2019 is the pronoun they.
That is lexicographer Emily Brewster. She told us, word of the year must show significant frequency in lookups over the past 12 months, and it must also have been a significant increase in lookups over the previous year. And the runner-ups also, by the way, included impeach, crawdad, quid pro quo, and egregious. Susan Bigelow, based on not data, but your own idea, what is your word of the year and why?
Unfortunately, it's tolls because it's all we talk about in Connecticut. I wish they would just pass something so that we could talk about something else.
Kristen Palpini.
I'm going to go with canceled, as in cancel culture, and let's cancel this or that.
Oh, we've run out of time. We don't have time for mine.
Canceled.
That's fine.
Oh, no.
Canceled. Okay. Thank you, Kristen Palpini, for coming in today.
Thanks, Jill.
And Susan Bigelow, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you.
That's it for the shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. You can catch it anytime wherever you get your podcasts or at npr.net/podcast hub. Also, listen to Beacon Hill and 5 while you're there, NEPR's weekly check-in at the Massachusetts State House. I'm Jill Kaufman. This is New England Public Radio.